Hi, kids. I'm Lorenzo, and welcome to Misanthrope Radio, where we play near far, near far. Can you say misanthrope? Misanthrope. I knew you could do it. We talk about poop, and we have story time. Today's story is about that time your mother blew George straight and then went home and kissed your father right on his mouth. You know, I don't know whether your mom blew George straight or not, but I feel like there's a decent chance she probably did. Misanthrope Radio starts now. So I did something today that I don't normally do. And when I say I don't normally do it, I mean like I don't think I've ever done it. I went cruising the Apple charts looking for the top comedy podcasts in America right now. And there were some names on there that were not unfamiliar, like Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live has her own podcast. Joe Rogan, of course, shows up under the comedy heading. I'm not sure I would classify what he does as comedy, but okay, whatever. Theo Vaughn has a conversational comedy-type podcast. There's a podcast out there from Jason Bateman, the flamboyantly gay guy off of Will and Grace, and the guy who's Kristen Bell's baby daddy. But I may be wrong on that, too. I don't know. A lot of those guys kind of look alike. And then I saw the Bad Friends podcast. That's the really wise-ass fucking pasty little ginge dude and the Asian guy that he shits on all day. And then I saw a podcast called Comedy Bang Bang, or Comedy Gang Bang, or Bang Gang, or Comedy something, and then either Bang or Gang, and then alternate those words once or twice, or maybe the same fucking word again. I don't know. Comedy, let's just call it Comedy Gang Bang. Fuck it, I'm going to get this wrong. Let me look it up. No, it's Comedy Bang Bang. And as it turns out, it's not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be, well, funny. Hold on. No, I thought it was going to be something other than what it was. What it turned out to be was a conversational type show with an accomplished comedian and then the host, who I'm assuming has a background in comedy, but I don't really fucking know because I didn't research it. I don't care enough. And I thought to myself, I like Sarah Silverman. Let's check this out because she was the guest. Or I should say, I have liked Sarah Silverman. How about that? So what I ended up finding when I clicked on the link and started listening to the episode was a snappy little quirky musical type show opener. I'm going to recreate that right now. Comedy gang bang, comedy gang bang, gang bang, gang bang, gang bang. Gang bang 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 gang 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 bang 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 gang. And then the host came on, and I can't remember if he did an ad right off the rip or what he did there, but it didn't seem like it was content related. But again, it was kind of hard to follow because I was still reeling from the weird fucking show opener. And then he brought on the guest. So my dramatic reenactment goes as follows. Comedy, 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 comedy. Comedy, as it turns out, comedy, 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 and comedy. Now Sarah Silverman. Sarah, you've been on the Comedy Bang Gang podcast about 12 times now. How does it make you feel?
Fucking, I hate magicians.
Still hating magicians, huh? Comedy, 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 and comedy, comedy, comedy-ish, comedy, comedy, and comedy, Sarah Silverman.
Fucking, I hate magicians.
Comedy, comedy, and comedy. And that was basically it. That was the podcast in a nutshell. So I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck am I even doing here? This is in the top 15, top 20 of your Apple podcast comedy section charts. What am I even doing? How am I to compete with scary talent like whatever the fuck that guy's name is, who just says comedy a bunch and then laughs? How the fuck am I going to compete with Sarah Silverman as the most disinterested guest I've ever heard, and she just fucking hates magicians? How can I compete with that? How can I hold my own against scary fucking talent of that caliber? How can I hold my own against the wise-ass Ginge and the fucking weird little Asian dude on Bad Friends? How can I hold my own against Jason Bateman and the really, really, really gay guy from Will and Grace? And I think to myself, maybe this medium is not for me. Maybe my brand of comedy is not gonna fucking fly with the lame cunts that are listening and enjoying shows like those. Where are all the fucking talented people? That's what I want to know. These guys are fucking clowns. Where did all the talented people go? Like, where's Jim Norton? Jim Norton was fucking hilarious. I know Patrice O'Neill died. Anthony Cumia is like actually back doing real radio now or something like that. Howard Stern is 112 and hasn't been funny in 20 years. But where are the where's the fucking talent? They have to exist. Oh my God. Oh my fucking head. How am I trying to break into a medium that is completely ran by some of the most unfunny motherfuckers in history? In order to be fucking successful in podcasting, to quote Adam Carolla in a roundabout way, in order to be successful in podcasting, first step is just be fucking famous already. Fuck me. What am I doing? So, like, in order to break through all of the fucking noise and elevate myself to the top of the fucking Apple charts, I have to be 9 times funnier than anything that they do. If one of these fucking hack podcasts by one of these moderately fucking famous people, if they decide to do Jew humor, I have to do the Jewiest Jew humor of all time. If they decide to do dick jokes, I have to craft dick jokes that are so groundbreaking that they can't possibly fucking go unnoticed. I have to be better in every way, in every facet of this fucking podcasting game. I have to be absolutely flawless to even elevate myself in the charts 1-2 positions. Fucking hell. Oh my God. What the fuck have I undertaken here? Why do I have to fucking excel? See, that's the thing. There's 4 million active podcasts out there and 3.75 million of them are just people, meatballs, who work fucking changing tires or work down at fucking Jiffy Lube, and they sit down in their basement and they dick around on the fucking microphone, and they have a podcast that 48 of their fucking best friends listen to, and they're just fucking happy as shit with that. Why do I have to be competitive? Why do I feel like I have to fucking compete with the guy who's banging Kristen Bell or whatever the fuck her name is? Oh my God, fuck me. I can't fucking do it. That's the thing. I can't just fucking do a podcast and hope that 5 to 10 fucking people a week find it. I have to be the fucking best at this, or I'm gonna go fucking crazy. I should have never looked. I should have never looked at those fucking charts. I should have never looked at those charts. I should have just assumed that everyone at the top of the fucking comedy charts was doing really groundbreaking, awesome shit. The fact that I've looked now has totally fucked me up. Oh my God. Oh, fuck me. How am I going to compete with this fucking scary talent? These motherfuckers sitting in a room just doing nothing for fucking 2 hours at a time. Not even chuckle-worthy in the fucking comedy category. Oh, fuck. What would Jesus do? That's what I need to ask myself. What would Jesus do here? Jesus would pray. Okay. Fold your fucking hands. Let's pray. Dear Lord, in your divine wisdom, in your divine countenance. I don't know what that word means, but I feel like countenance is a word that you say when you're praying. In your divine countenance, please shine down upon me with your blessings and give me a sense of direction in order to defeat and utterly destroy the fucking Philistines that are everyone other than me on the comedy charts in the podcast world. They have blasphemed you, O Lord, by doing unfunny shit constantly and every day, and they're making a fairly decent living, or at least supplementing their already outstanding income by doing mediocre stuff. Please let the public at large realize that they're being hoodwinked into thinking that what they're getting is comedy, when in all actuality, it's just fucking mindless drivel. Oh, and please, if you would send your angels to shower the person who invented the idea of comedy bang bang shower them with the gift of cancer, that would be absolutely amazing, O Lord, in your mercy. Fuck. Normally I feel better after I pray, but I don't feel better after that prayer at all.
Oh. Oh, God damn it. Oh, I'm crashing out. Shower me with your divine countenance, O Lord, and please don't forget the cancer on the comedy Bang Bang guy. In your divine mercy. Amen.
Segment 2.
I fucking hate fat women. And my hatred for fat women transcends race, color, or creed. I can't even say I hate sassy fat black women or fucking Hispanic fat women. I can't even say it's just fat women in general. They're just the fucking worst. Having said that, I think I will always have a special place, a special bit of my heart set aside for hatred of fat white women. Is there anything in the world worse than a sassy fat white woman? Now, let me qualify that statement. I'm not talking about my fucking 700-pound life, sassy fat white women. No, they're truly hateable as well, but for different reasons. They're an eyesore. You know what I mean? They should only be allowed out at night because they fucking lower property values just being out during the day. A morbidly fucking obese 700-pound fat white woman actually has the ability to destroy local businesses and annihilate a local economy. They're hateable, but on a socioeconomic level. What I'm talking about today is the sassy fat white woman who comes in at a solid weight range of 225 to 400. The ones who can get around. The ones who don't need help from everyone around them. The ones who aren't necessarily draining society's resources. You know the ones I'm talking about. The ones who have the fucking handicap thing that hangs on their rear view mirror that they only use when they can't find a better parking spot. Those sassy fat white women. I hate them. I fucking hate them. They're the fucking worst. This got started because I was at the grocery store yesterday, I think it was. And I was standing there. Yeah, it was yesterday. I was standing there in line waiting to pay for my corn. I had bought some corn on the cob. And I was standing there patiently waiting. And there was a fucking short, red-faced, stereotypical, fucking standard-issue, fat fucking white woman standing there at the fucking register, watching like a fucking hawk everything that lady fucking pulled over the scanner. Now, I don't have any problem with you watching the stuff that's going over the scanner to make sure you're not getting screwed, but the way she was doing it was different, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. She was standing there, almost leaning forward, her fucking gunt rubbing against the fucking conveyor. Her tiny little fucking hands with the age spots and perfectly manicured nails opening and closing, waiting for her opportunity to fucking spring forward and be a cunt. Her fucking little T-Rex arms undulating softly like a coiled spring, ready to fucking leap into action at a moment's notice. And have you ever noticed, like, really fucking sassy fat white women always have really small feet? They'll have these fucking enormous goddamn hams for legs and somehow manage to have no ass but an enormous gunt hanging off the front of them. Do you know what a gunt is? A gunt is where it's a belly pooch that has gone completely off the rails. It's
It starts just below their tits, and it comes out like a fucking beach ball, and it ends at the apex of their thighs with no discernible difference, with no discernible markable line from where the gut ends and the pussy begins. That's a gunt. So they'll have this enormous gunt on the front of them, and then it's just like fucking flat on the back. I don't know how the fuck they do it. They have these enormous hams, tiny little fucking size 4 feet, this gigantic gunt, but then the backside, you could lay a fucking level against it and the bubble wouldn't even fucking flinch. Oh, back around front though, I forgot, a push-up bra, 100% of the time, because at some point, some fucking fat woman figured out that if you take your gigantic fucking fat bags and you fucking pour them into a fucking push-up bra, they will take the form of whatever you fucking pour them into, and you have them all, and these fucking giant, disgusting, fucking frog-faced, fat, nasty fucking cunts 100% of the time have their fucking tits right up by their chin. Always a low-cut shirt, mottled fucking disgusting cleavage, more often than not a butterfly tattoo from 25 years ago. Anyway, I'm getting off subject here. I don't hate them because of their appearance. I have to keep telling myself that. I don't hate sassy fat white women because of their appearance. I hate them because they're bitches. You wouldn't know that by listening to me right now, but I actually don't have a problem with their appearance. What I was saying by describing the appearance was just trying to paint a picture in your head of the fucking standard issue sassy fat white woman physique is what I was trying to say. I hadn't even got to the fucking head yet. The fucking nasty frog face and the fucking turned down mouth and the fucking pig-like snout. And the fucking beady, shifty, fucking dishonest eyes. Always looking for a deal. Always looking for a way to fuck the system. Always looking for someone to fucking break. And then the hair color is one of two. 100% of the time, it is one of these two hair colors. It's that fucking really obnoxious, sassy, fat, white woman maroon color. Typically barely shoulder length and shaped into a roughly reminiscent Darth Vader type helmet with bangs and a side part, or same hairstyle and dark hair with flecks of gray. Oh, forgot the eyeglasses. The eyeglasses, usually bifocals, not transitions lenses, you know, to where they're bifocals, but you don't have the line. No, they have the fucking line, and it's the fucking late 80s, early 90s gigantic round rims with the multicolored pattern, because you know, they have to be stylish. Anyway, the sassy fat white woman I just described, who is incidentally the fucking prototype for any and all sassy fat white women everywhere. Stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason. I'm sure if you listen to this podcast long enough as we go along, I'm going to hit some fucking stereotypes that you're not going to appreciate, but fuck you. Stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason. Anyway, she was just standing there, and she could not fucking wait for something to go wrong. She couldn't fucking wait. You could read it. Every fucking bit of her body language was screaming, danger, don't approach, danger, don't approach, danger, don't interact. And as the scanning went on, her fucking henpecked, beat down, just getting through it fucking husband was inching further and further away from her, walking down and choosing to bag his own groceries just to put some fucking distance between himself and Loretta, the sassy fat white woman. And finally it happened. She couldn't contain herself any longer.
You scanned 3 cans of peaches and I only bought 2.
But this is where the problem started. The cashier was not trying to hear any of Loretta's shit. The cashier, without looking at her, without even breaking stride in her scanning, goes, no, I didn't, and kept it moving. That's all it took. And Loretta launched into full fucking sassy fat white woman mode. Whether it was because the cashier didn't make eye contact, whether it was because the cashier didn't stop what they were doing to scroll up and look on the fucking register tape, or whether it was that the cashier just casually dismissed her. Whatever it was that set Loretta off, it was always going to happen, because sassy, fat, fucking white women can't do anything without causing a fucking problem somewhere. And Loretta flipped her shit. Was her name actually Loretta? I don't know. But more often than not, the sassy, fat white woman is named Loretta. You ever notice that? Her husband's gaze drops down to the paper sack he is dutifully stowing their fucking groceries into, cowering with a little bit of fear because Loretta broke him long ago. Loretta killed his will to live years and years ago, so now she's on the prowl for someone else to kill. Anyone. Everyone. She flew completely off the handle, started yelling, waving her fucking T-Rex arms around wildly. Her billfold went flying across the fucking counter, screaming at her husband to interject and go find the fucking manager, screaming across the store that she needs the fucking manager there right now. And the cashier, to her credit, didn't even break stride, just kept on scanning. Which only incensed Loretta even further, alternating shifting her weight back and forth in those fucking pinchy size 4 shoes, her fucking overburdened knees bending and straightening and bending and straightening as Loretta is flinging her fucking voice and her arms all over the place. Loretta's a force to be reckoned with. Loretta's not someone you want to trifle with. Do you want to know why? Loretta is a standard issue, sassy fucking fat white woman. She even turned and looked at me at one point after she had ran her husband off and the cashier didn't seem to care. The manager was scurrying across the front, hadn't quite got there yet. She wheeled and turned and looked at me looking for validation. She got no such thing. I just stared dead-eyed back in that frog-like fucking face with the red spider broken blood vessels all over her fucking nose, and just waited for her to say something. The manager finally got there, scurrying up to his cashier's side, making sure to keep the conveyor table between him and Loretta, the destroyer. And Loretta proceeded to lay into him and tell him that she's never been treated so badly in all her life. This place is a complete shithole. It's a joke. She doesn't understand why when she has a legitimate concern about the amount of money she's being charged, the cashier won't even look her way. Because, you know, Loretta can't stand to be dismissed. The manager made all of the necessary platitudes, offered a fucking coupon. Loretta seemed mollified, and the transaction commenced. But that incident with Loretta got me thinking about all of the sassy fat white women I've fucking hated throughout the course of my life, and the common traits that they've all shared. They all refer to themselves as something other than what they are. No sassy fat white woman will say, "I am a sassy fat white woman." Absolutely not. They will not fucking wear that on their sleeve. They will not pronounce that or shout that from the rooftops. No. They instead refer to themselves as voluptuous or luscious or curvaceous. They refer to themselves as busty. Or if you get one who has a little bit of fun in them, they will say that they are a plus-size princess. They are almost universally entitled, regardless of race, color, or creed. And they're always dragging some fucking dude around behind him who looks like he's just waiting to die. I find myself thinking about the men more than anything else. What it must be like to have to live with Loretta. That poor bastard and I made eye contact a couple times throughout Loretta's meltdown, and you could see it was a pleading look, and then a defiant look, and then a look of resignation. Without words, what he told me in those moments was, "I wish they'd just give her what she wanted." Then, "Yes, this cunt belongs to me." And then finally, "At least you don't have to go home with her." What's that gotta be like? What's his fucking day like? What's his day like? What's his fucking day like? Because can you imagine what it's like to have to get in the fucking car with Loretta after an incident like that? Loretta's not done. No, she's kicking ass for the rest of the day. Fucking sassy fat white women, goddamn. They fuck everything up. You know, I don't have any interest in doing any kind of interview type podcast, but I would like to sit down across from Loretta, the sassy fat white woman, and really get into her head and see what makes her tick. I would try to charm her, I think. I think that that would be my tactic. I would sit down across from Loretta and I would really turn on the charm just to see if I could get Loretta to want me. Oh my God. What a fucking awful idea. Oof. Can you imagine Loretta, the sassy fat white woman, in fucking seduction mode? Oh my God. I just ate. Jesus Christ. With those fucking gigantic fucking ship sail bloomers she calls panties. Satin, I'm sure. With the absorbent cotton patch at the bottom. Fuck. Ugh. Sitting there in front of me in full seduction mode. This pussy's so good, if you throw it in the air, it'd turn into sunshine. Don't worry about it, honey. I brought my own flower so you can find the wet spot. I know I'm not a looker, but in my bag, I got me an American flag. You can wrap it around my head and fuck me for old glory. I feel sorry for that motherfucker. It's got to go home with her. Anyway, I just had to recount my encounter with fucking Loretta, the sassy fat white woman. On to the next segment.
Segment 3.
Public service announcement here from Misanthrope Radio. In the introduction to this episode of Misanthrope Radio, I did kind of a play on the old fucking Sesame Street, you know, near, far, shit like that. And I said story time was going to be about the time your mom went and fucking blew George Strait and then went home and kissed your dad on the mouth. Obviously, I'm saying that in jest. I don't know if your mom gurp-gurped fucking George Strait or not, but would she? That's the fucking question. I don't know how to say this. I actually took copious notes of everything that came into my head on this subject because I don't know how to talk about it. But I know that I don't want to come at it from the angle that like Jordan Peterson would come at it or that fucking weird Tate guy who's, is he in Romania? Is he in the States? Is he in prison? I don't fucking know. Like nobody knows where he is or what he's doing. I'm not going to say that this section is not going to have a bit of a misogynistic tint, and that's just because, as it turns out, I'm a dude and I have been all my life, so I'm going to be talking to other men here. So I'm just going to fucking start out and just say it. Stop worrying about chicks. Stop chasing chicks. Stop trying to hold on to chicks and just fucking produce. I truly believe that every man has the ability to innovate and change the world around him in one way or another. Everyone has the ability to change the fucking world around them in one way or another. But men get caught up. And most of the time when they get caught up, it's because of some fucking female. Okay, let's try it like this. In my opinion, and this is my uneducated fucking 700-foot view of the situation, never gonna meet any of these people opinion. In my opinion, what do Steve Jobs, Jeff Bezos, Bezos, I'm going to say Bezos because I feel like that's how you say his name, but it fucking might be Bezos. I don't know. What do Steve Jobs, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and Mark Zuckerberg all have in common at the age of 18? When they were all the age of 18, what did they have in common? Well, they were white, so you can throw that in there. But what else? What's the defining factor? What is the one thing that binds them together at the age of 18? They were all weird, unfuckable dudes. It's like, okay, yeah, Elon Musk right now is rolling in pussy. Have you seen Ashley St. Clair? Jesus, Harold Christ on a rubber crutch. Shockingly hot, right? Jeff Bezos dumped the chick that looks like Bugs Bunny in favor of the TV personality chick. Who, I mean, she's not really my cup of tea, but I guess you could say she's banging hot, right? Mark Zuckerberg, I'm sure, is rolling in ass. I have no idea. I don't really keep up on these people like that. I just know what's waved in front of me. Post-success, they have no trouble getting chicks. Prior to success, probably couldn't get laid in a morgue. So what do you think they did? And there is a point, I'm getting to it. Do you think they were cruising the fucking early 90s version of OnlyFans? Throwing money at fucking mid-range bitches with stretch marks in order to try to curry some favor? No, probably not. What were they doing? They were achieving. They were thinking. They were working. They were grinding. They were applying their intellect, and in each of their own ways, they have changed the fucking world. So what's the difference between Elon Musk, say, and you? Now, it's not a very good example because I think that guy's on the fucking spectrum. What's the difference between Mark Zuckerberg and you? Not really anything. He learned how to code. He had a great idea. He implemented that idea. He cut out his fucking partners. You know, everybody's seen the movie, which is fucked up. But at the base, at his core, what's the difference between you and Mark Zuckerberg? Well, at the time in his life when Mark Zuckerberg was unfuckable, he applied his fucking ability and changed the world. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Stop chasing chicks and fucking be splendid. Be amazing. Be a fucking monster. You know, part of flipping the switch in my head and getting back into the mindset of being someone who entertains means that I notice shit now. Now, it used to be back in the day, way, way, way back in the day when I was on the radio 20 years ago, I would walk around and I would notice everything. Nothing got by me. I noticed everything going on around me. And I would fucking roll it around in my head and I would extrapolate it and I would find the funny in every fucking situation, even the most mundane situation. I would find the one funny thing about whatever I happened to observe. And I would catalog that shit. I'd write it down in a notebook and I would use it every day on the radio. But then once I got out of radio and went in the Navy, as you can imagine, had the need to turn that particular part of my personality off. And that switch stayed flipped off for the better part of 2 decades. Well, I've recently flipped it back on, and I've started noticing again the world around me and what I see at Walmart, at the grocery store, anywhere out in public. I see dudes just walking around trying to fucking get through it. Oftentimes walking around with some fucking broad whose head is on a swivel, and the guy walking around behind her pushing the cart just trying to get through the fucking day. I've been there, dude. I know what that feels like. I know what it is to chase around a chick that has already broken you and is looking for someone else to break. I know the soul-crushing feeling of chasing around a female that doesn't want to be caught. And if she does want to be caught, it's certainly not by you. It's a damning, awful feeling to be grasping and holding on tight and trying to be everything that that female needs you to be, with the knowledge that simply trying to be everything she needs you to be will only make her fucking hate you for it. It's a really shitty feeling. And I see so many guys out in my community who are in the fucking grips of that. Well, coming from someone who has shaken that off, let me tell you, stop. Stop now. Stop focusing on her. Stop focusing on chicks in general. Stop focusing on trying to get them, trying to keep them, trying to maintain them. Knock it off. Let it fucking go. Instead, focus on you and your goals and your ability, because every man has the ability to innovate, build, create, and change the fucking world. Is every man going to be Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk? No, absolutely not. But you have the ability to do something fucking outstanding. You have the ability. Everyone has the ability to innovate and create and build and do amazing shit in their own way. Am I saying that fucking Chuck the meatball down at Jiffy Lube has the ability to be the next Mark Zuckerberg? I don't suppose it's outside of the realm of possibilities, but probably not. However, Chuck the fucking meatball down at Jiffy Lube may, rattling around in his brain, have an idea about how to revolutionize the fucking efficiency of the internal combustion engine. He looks up into engines all day long while changing that fucking oil. He has the ability to create, build, execute, and be fucking splendid. So what I'm telling you to do is shut the fuck up and produce. Stop throwing money at OnlyFans bitches. Get out of your fucking house and do amazing shit. Get out of your own way. I truly believe the human mind wakes up every morning primed and ready to fucking perform. So do it already. Stop chasing pussy. Stop trying to be everything she fucking needs and wants. She will resent you for holding her to a fucking standard, so fucking stop it. Stop pouring all of your energy into a chick who's just gonna blow George straight and then come home and kiss you on the mouth. Produce, think, create, build, change the fucking world. And if you're supposed to find somebody to share your newly found direction with, you will. But in the meantime, do the work. Grind. Innovate. Don't let fucking people tell you that your ideas are outlandish. I'm 49 years old, and it's taken me almost that entire time to realize that if I continue trying to be everything that everybody needs me to be, I'm never going to be who I need me to be. That's why I started this podcast. That's why I'm going all in, because I know that this is what I can do to change the world. This fucking stupid, idiotic little podcasting thing is what I can do. I have the ability to sit down behind a microphone and dream up outlandish, crazy shit in order to be entertaining and maybe even occasionally instructive for people in the world. I have the ability to rise to the top of the Apple charts. I know that. I know that I have the ability to do so, and goddammit, that's what I'm focused on. Where does your ability take you? What are your talents? Where do your fucking talents lie? Stop being a fucking meatball and go find it. And like I said earlier, stop focusing on chicks. Stop it. It's fucking not productive. Do you want to attract a top quality woman? Focus on yourself, realizing your goals, achieving the shit that you're setting out to do. Get your life together. And if you're meant to find a chick to share this new direction with, you will. And in the meantime, there's prostitutes, dental hygienists, nurses, and waitresses. They provide a vital public service. Use them and throw them away. It's what they expect you to do to them anyway. And I think that any females would hear that last statement and go, "You motherfucker," but in a moment of fucking stark honesty, most women, situationally, are perfectly fine with being used and tossed aside. And if you don't believe me, or if you're saying, "Bullshit, that's not true," how did Wilt Chamberlain sleep with 10,000 women? How did Tiger Woods rack up a body count of several hundred while married to that Elon chick? Women are genetically and biologically predisposed to throw pussy at the best quality person that they can find. Call it instinct. If Rob Gronkowski shows up in your town, fucking hide your wives, because they're all going to throw pussy at him. He's a genetic abnormality. He's a fucking freak of nature. And women are more than happy to be host to the best possible set of genes. But why are you spending your time pining over a woman who will fucking blow Vince Neil at a fucking Motley Crue reunion show and then walk back in the house you paid for and kiss you right on the mouth with zero guilt? Understand it. Accept that it's a fact of life. They're genetically programmed to never 100% be faithful to you forever. You're only good enough until you're not good enough anymore. Stop wasting the energy that you could be devoting to building, creating, and changing the fucking world. Stop wasting your energy on that fucking broad. Give it a fucking rest, bro. Because she's only with you because you were the best option available at the time. You were the big fish in the small pond. Let that pond get a little bit bigger. Let her situation or ability level or education level change. And all of a sudden, you're not good enough anymore. You were her entire world, and now you're a meatball. Stop fucking focusing on these broads. She's only with you because you served the purpose that she required at the time. I'm not telling you to drop her on her ass. What I'm telling you to do is stop fucking focusing on her. Stop chasing around behind her and pouring your fucking heart and soul into trying to be everything she needs. stop wasting fucking energy on that shit and produce, grind, create, build. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Trying to refocus the fucking men of planet Earth onto things that actually matter. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Misanthrope Radio. Leave a review, tell a friend, you know, the usual shit. Until next time.